to the book of Daniel. Thank you for being in the sanctuary tonight. What a privilege it is to be back here with Brother Cook and with you. And I've been praying for revival. And I'm intending to have one myself. And I hope you'll come along with me. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. The book of Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the king's wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, upon whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want to preach, if God will help me and give me voice tonight, on how to live in a foreign country. Now, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Back yonder in about 1951, I set up citizenship in another country. And after that morning, I found out that me and this world has very little in common. We don't talk the same language. My language and the world's language is different. And we don't dress alike. And we don't go to the same places. This world has no time for the house of God. And no time for holy living, holy talking, and holy dressing. And I don't feel at home in this world anymore. But thank God, there is a place where I belong. But while I'm here, bless His name, I ought to so live that those that are in the world could see a difference in me. I mean, not just the way I look, but the way I act and the way I talk. The world ought to see a difference. Now, there's a difference in God's people. And I realize that now, in most of the world, that you cannot tell the difference. That the people, the church people, Baptist people, Methodist people, but the great majority look like the world and act like the world, but that's not the way it ought to be. I wonder when we can blend in with this world, whether or not we've ever become real children of the king of that other country. I've got a great feeling in my heart that when God sees, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And I'll tell you, if you belong to the family that I belong to, you want to look like and act like your Heavenly Father. I want Him to be proud of me. Now, I read to you about Daniel. He's one of my heroes in the Word of God. I think probably in his late teens, when he was taken captive with the other Hebrew children and into a foreign land, where they did not speak the same language. And so they finally found out that Daniel and some of his friends were smarter than the rest. And I like that. I think I have some 10-year-old girls and boys in my church that knows more than any congressman that I know of in America. They know how to testify, and they know how to dress and talk, and they know what preaching is. They know the difference between speaking and preaching. They know the difference between singing and singing in the Holy Spirit. And that's getting pretty smart. And Daniel and his friends, they tried them. And I say, if he's a Christian, go on and try him. Christians got character. I mean, to be a Christian means more than just to be saved. To be a Christian means to be like Christ. I believe that's what these boys were. I believe they had something on the inside of them that gave them character. Now, the character is what you, when you do the same thing in the dark woods that you do out in the public. And that's what these boys had. And a real Christian has got character. You don't cuss on the job and shout on Sunday. Thank God you're the same every day. I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God I'm glad that morning God did something for me besides making me want to go to church. He reached way down inside me and turned me wrong side out and put a living in me that this world don't seem to know anything about. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, you don't have to be like the world. You can be like God's people. Amen. Now, Daniel, his friends are going to get tried. And the king wants them to eat the portion of the meat and drink that he's got to offer them. It's just like the kings of this world. They want you to eat their stuff. That's why they pump it into your living room. They want you to eat it, and most of us gobble it up. And then wonder why we get out of the house of God and wonder why everybody looks so strange. Thank God you don't have to be like Hollywood. I'm going to say you better not be like Hollywood. You can't have Hollywood and have holiness at the same time. I believe that'll be all right. Now here's Daniel and his friends in a foreign country. And they're being put to the test. Daniel and his friends decide not to eat nor drink the portion that the king's allotted them. Now this is going to get you put in a bad fix if you don't have anything to do with the world. And you want your kids' children educated in a Christian atmosphere. And you don't watch wickedness in your living room. And you go out in public and you can't talk to most of them. All they know how to talk about is what's on the internet and what's on the Hollywood boom tube. And so you don't fit. Thank God I don't fit. Thank God I don't fit. Ain't no use you looking at me now the way they're going to change me a bit. I'm done in a mold, thank God, and in a rut of living for God, and I'm not affixing the change. And but they're put by themselves now and put to the test. Some of you were going to give the portion of the king's meat to you. And these boys requested, said, if you don't care, prince of the eunuchs, just give us beans and water. Now that's exactly what they're eating. You can trace this down all you want to, and it's just eating beans. And thank God they're satisfied with beans to live for God. You don't have to have the dainties of this world to live right. You can just eat beans and potatoes and hang around the house. Hallelujah. And go to church on Sunday morning and shout and praise God and live right. And when the end comes, you'll be glad you did. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad you can live right in this present world. And these men decided to do right. Daniel said, I want you to just give us bread and beans and water and test us after a while. Now, go ahead and put us up in a little coat. Those of us that's been born again. And don't give the things of the world to us. And then test us after a while and see how we turn out. But the big test is coming after a while. When the fire and brimstone falls and the end comes and Jesus comes again, the real test, see who shines then. Well, the world looks pretty good right now. Everything's going big, Democratic convention going on, and everybody are watching. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, that's not the important thing going on in the world. And the Iraqi war is not the important things going on. The real important things in these little churches, just like this church and down the road down yonder, are trying to have a revival meeting. If we fail, the whole thing falls. If they fail, nothing will change. But if we fail, it's all going to the ditch. Amen. Now, I'll never forget that morning when I got saved. The marvelous, marvelous thing, besides being born again. I've been under conviction for about 2 years. And my dad and my mama, we was going to a liberal church, a liberal Southern Baptist church. Didn't have anything to do with being Southern Baptist, but it was liberal. And the only person I'd heard my mama shout, and Miss Rosie Jones shout, never had heard nobody else shout. My mama testified once in a while. And when she did, everybody looked at her like she was crazy. But I'm going to tell you what. Thank God they know the Lord. My daddy prayed food in on our table. Amen. And he's a praying man. He quit school in the second grade. But he said God called him to pray. And I know that's not probably in the Bible. But if you'd have heard him pray, you'd be looking for it in between the lines. God did a work in his heart. And hey, tonight, you don't have to have faith of the world in order to have the best things. The best things don't come from this world. They come from God Almighty. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you young people here tonight, several young folk here, I love you, and the world's a-pulling at you. And you can just about go the way you want to. I mean, there's some real parents. The reputation of this church is known far and wide. And there's some real parents here. And parents, listen to me. You need to raise them children in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And let them see that the best way is God's way. I'm going to tell you, if I starve in death, I wouldn't want my grandchildren to know it. Thank God. I'll tell you, beans and taters with God is better than anything the world's got and not have Him. Amen.
Amen.
Well, try us out and see. And they tried them after 10 days and found them fairer than anybody else. Now, a real child of God will shine wherever he is. He'll shine down at the workplace where everybody else is cussing and committing adultery and fornication. A child of God is different. Amen. I know I'm right. And now, Daniel knows what to do. He is in a foreign country. And he knows what to do. First of all, he knows what to do in the dining room. He didn't eat what everybody else eats. And I don't eat what everybody else eats. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in churches even that I'm not going to eat. That's not my kind of food. My kind of food's Holy Ghost stuff. I mean, good old time singing where you can beat that three-quarter and four-four and 6-8 times. Amen. I don't like any music you ain't got no time to. You just have to guess it. Amen. Thank God that old time stuff. And contemporary gospel is no gospel. Oh, yes. Well, he knows what to do in the dining room. Do you just eat any kind of singing that comes along? I mean, if there's a bus comes by, in our country, there's folks wait up on them overpasses on Sunday morning, and the first singing bus comes by, they fall in behind it no matter where he's going. They eat singing. Doesn't make any difference who's singing, as long as they think they're singing well. Amen. And they go to church, they won't eat. They won't eat entertainment. They want entertainment to eat at the house of God. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. And I mean, if the preacher's a jokester, and we ought to have a lot of this sing and praise stuff, you know, in the house of God. Just clap and stand and sing with the word wrote up on the wall. Whatever happened to old-time religion? Whatever happened to old-time singing? When the choir sang, the congregation sang, and folks would weep and praise God. Amen. You say, preacher, you're too old-timey. Thank you. Amen. You know what to do in the dining room. You know what to do in the dream world. Folks got to dream and having visions. And folks are whispering in their ear. Daniel knows how to handle it. We're living in a lot of a dream world today. And we're souped up about mega churches.
and things are going on. If you don't have 10,000, you're not getting anywhere. That's a dream world. And they used to write to me from the sword of the Lord and tell me if I didn't have at least 100 a year saved, I wasn't worth the bread I was eating. Oh yeah. But I'm going to tell you the real thing is, there's still just a few getting saved. No matter where you go to church, there's no multitude of getting born again. I wish I could say it's so, but it's not so. I was in a church in Louisville, and the pastor had a doctor's degree, and I stand. He said, "Preacher, we just been in revival." I said, "Is that right? That's wonderful." And I'd preach, and we were going to lunch. And he said, "Yeah, we had 75 people saved." And I said, "Is that right?" And I said, "How'd you get them saved?" And he said, "Well, we had a team come down from Hammond, and we worked the front porches and the screen doors and got people saved through the screen door, you know, talked to them, and they got right with God." And I said, "Well, where are they?" Wasn't about 50 of us there that morning. And they said, "Well, they don't come to church." Well, what I got that morning got me to church. That's a dream world. Folks get saved by hearing preaching and getting under old time conviction and praying and believing until God saves them. By the way, there's something about the church atmosphere that a sinner needs to get in. Your emphasis in talking to lost people. I noticed your pastor today talked to two or three ladies or four ladies, whatever it was we came in contact with at the motel and restaurant. And it didn't say, "Will you bow your head with me and just trust and believe?" And he said, "Where do you go to church? When did you get saved?" None of them ever gave a clear representation of where they got born again. But the invitation was to come to the house of God. Amen. That's where God's doing business. He's not doing business down at the beach. He's doing business through the church. What he died and gave his life for. Amen. It's the church. The church. All the rest of that's a dream world. It's just like it was when your granny came to the house of God. Nothing's changed. It'll take the old time way or nothing. He knows how to act in the dream world. He knows how to act in a dining room. Then he knows how to act in a den of lions. Well, we're living in a rough world. A rough age. Old Daniel's going to suffer for his righteous living. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
You're right.
Now, I'm not talking to get out here and just holler up and down the street and get persecuted.
Right.
I said living godly in Christ Jesus. There's a whole lot of difference. You're trying to get tough, see how much you can get folks to cuss you, and really coming down to holy living and getting ridiculed for it. You better believe they crucified Jesus Christ for holy living. They'll talk about you too. But the decree is now that anybody that's caught a praying, besides praying to the king, that they be thrown into the den of lions. I keep almost saying lion's den. It's a whole lot of difference. You can have a lion's den, no lions in it. When you say a den of lions, there's lions in there. Amen. He's going to throw him in the den of lions. Now, I want you to look at this right here. Thank God for boldness that a child of God ain't afraid to testify. When he's asked about his hope in Christ. The Bible said when they got all together and lied on Daniel and got the king to sign it, king liked Daniel. King liked this prophet and preacher. But they worked around like they'll do a lot of preachers. Work around and tell things in order to get him put in a bad light. Amen. And listen to this. They said as soon as Daniel knew that the decree was signed, he headed for his window. It sounds like to me he wanted to pray. It sounds like to me he knew that was his only hope. Now I want you to get this. He went now to the window that looked towards Jerusalem and began to pray. I remember Solomon when he finished the temple, started out as standing, wound up on his knees. And one of the things he said was, Father, if will their people be taken captive and they look toward this place, if they look toward this place, will you hear and heal them and bring and return their captivity? And God said he would. And Daniel remembers. And so he goes to his window and looks toward Jerusalem 3 times a day and prays. Have you prayed today? Have you looked toward home today and prayed? Oh, thank God for my window. If you want a window where you can talk to God, you can have it. God will give you an open place where you can speak straight through the Son to the Father. Amen. And Daniel had his window. When the lights are about to go out, when it looks like the sun won't shine anymore, when the doctors are shaking their heads, there's a window you can get to. And God will hear you. And He'll return you captivity and set you free again. I remember my little daughter got sick, just a baby. And she's dehydrated and to the place where it was dangerous. Put her in the hospital and they isolated her, just her and another baby that had the same ailment. And we couldn't go in to see her. And if we did, we had to get all gowned up, you know how it is, and go in, but they really didn't want us in there. And they tried to give her fluids, and instead of her body taking the fluids, it just ballooned her, just swelled all over. And me and that wife, our first little child, we were scared to death, and would be now. But oh, I said, God, surely you're not going to take my baby. And the doctor said, now it could go either way. And up in the afternoon, we're sitting out in the hall in a chair. And I said to my wife, I'm going home. And she said, well, don't leave us. And I said, I'm going over yonder in the persimmon thicket. And she knew what I was talking about. And I got home and went in the house and maybe put on more shoes and headed out of the persimmon thicket. And I got over there and began to pray. I started back the house and I decided I'd never really got in. And I went back again and prayed. Didn't much get anywhere. And I went back again and prayed. And after about an hour, I felt my window go open. And I knew I was getting through to that other country. Praise God. And I caught myself and saying, Lord, if one of them little kids in that room has to die, you let it be mine. I know she's all right. I had to get in the window before I could get there. And hey, hallelujah. I went back to the hospital and when I walked in down the aisle and I said, she's better, ain't she? And she said, how did you know? Hey, man, it'll happen when you get to the window. That boy of yours, that girl of yours that don't know God, that's a dying in sin, you better find you a window somewhere and pray before it's too late. Woo! Thank God for my window. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Have you ever been to the window and felt it open and know that heaven's a hearing? Oh, I've been so many times and couldn't think of what to say. Just mess around and gone around and realize, but oh, when the window opens, the word gets to coming faster than you can say it. And you realize you got an open door to God Almighty. There's something special about that, Brother Cook. Oh, yes. And Daniel prayed. Threw him in the den of lions anyhow. Just because you live right doesn't mean you won't have hard times. Just because you go to church every Sunday, old time church, and shout and sing in the choir, pay your tithe, don't mean you won't have hard times. But I tell you what, it does mean he'll go in with you. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Boy, I had a hard time of getting there. Just take it as it comes.
Yeah.
Wondering why. I was reading a while back, and Daniel said he couldn't get it all figured out. Why the man down yonder cussed and drank and lied and steal, had a good time. People trying to live right and live holy and getting trod in the dust. But he said, I went up to the house of God and realized I was a fool. Oh, yes. You may suffer, but you got God in the suffering with you.
Amen.
You ain't going to get it all figured out, but there's one thing for sure. Having God with you is worth everything else in the world. Oh, the king tried to get him out of it. Don't get him out. He doesn't give his word. I wish our political leaders tied to their word that good. But they threw Daniel in the lion's den. He knew how to act when he got back. Wasn't anything he could do about it. You see, when you won't have to walk the hospital walls and pray and scream and try and beat the walls if you prayed yesterday. It's not today's prayers that do you so much good today. It's yesterday's prayers that help you today. I'll let that soak in on you just a little bit. Now, if that's right, if yesterday's prayers what helped you today, think what's going to help you tomorrow. It's today's prayers that's going to help you tomorrow. You see, Daniel had been praying three times a day, and when he got in the lion's den, nothing said about him praying in there. It is already fixed when he got in the lion's den. Amen. Amen. I believe it'd do you good to pray today for tomorrow. Living right in this wicked world with your children out yonder, you don't know what's going to happen. There's folk in here tonight, grandchildren and children, and you don't know what in the world you're going to do. I'll tell you what you better do tonight. Get in this altar after a while and say, God, help me to make a difference in this world. Let my offspring, my kinfolk see what a real Christian's supposed to live like. I'll quit fighting the preacher when he's preaching on holy living and go to doing some holy living myself, because I'm not a citizen of this world anyhow. No, I had to act in the lion's den. There wasn't no meals down there in the lion's den tonight. There's the fasting. Well, I got to throw this in there. They knew you couldn't keep a good man down anyhow. Amen. Old Daniel laying down there asleep. Amen. The king walking the floor. I like that. Everything's at rest with the Christian, the world walking the floor. Amen. Now, I quit worrying. I don't know when it was, but many years ago I quit worrying. I do not worry about anything. And my wife tells me not to tell that. First of all, they won't believe it, and it makes them mad when they see that nobody worries.
Right.
If my wife don't have anything to worry about, it worries her. But you don't have to live all your life and worry about everything. Live right! Get in the lion's den and go to sleep. Thank God you've already prayed. The king coming next morning said, "Oh, Daniel, your God hates you." Daniel said, "Live forever, old king." Daniel no doubt acting the lion's den. Amen. You don't have to act in this world. You know how to live. I've come now in the last two or three years to believe that Alabama is one of the best places for the presence and the power of God that I've been to. But I'm going to tell you something else, and these old timers will tell you that's right. It's a changing fast. When these old gray heads are gone, what's it going to be like? Who's going to sing in the choir? Who's going to hold the line? Who's still going to testify and weep at the house of God? I would to God some younger folk tonight would pile in this altar and say, I'm going to learn how to act while I'm in this world. Going to live right so somebody can see how it's done. Amen.
You're right, preacher.
Then Daniel knowed how to act when the handwriting was on the wall. These folk had went over into Judah now and had taken the vessels of the house of God right out of the holy temple and had brought them down into their country and was using them as having a party. Them people started singing somewhere in the church. I seen I had carried a meeting on just beyond Dollywood and saw the church where Dolly Parton went. And it wouldn't, all of it together wouldn't held as much near as much, I don't think, as this row right here. There's a hole in this church. Thank God. But somewhere along the line, somebody missed it. That's right. And they're taking the things out of the house of God. And more comedians now are supposed to be Christians, it looks like, than they are coming out of Hollywood. They call them gospel comedians. I don't know what that is. You say, well, preacher, don't you believe in having fun? Not at church. This is a holy place. I don't believe there ought to be any joking at the house of God. Souls are going to hell and time are coming to a close. God help us to get about this business of serving God with a serious spirit again. The king and all his cronies down feasting, having a big time. All at once, go yonder on the wall, the fingers of a man's hand wrote, "Meeny, meeny, he tell you, parson." And he stood in love. And nobody knows what it said. Daniel's not at the party. But he's in the picture. Me and you are not in the party tonight. This whole world's going crazy. And we're not in the party, but we're in the picture. It's going to come our day after a while. You can bet on the only hope of this world is God's people. We're not at the party, but we're sure in the picture. The king's knees are knocking one. It don't take much from God to steer that outfit. All the soothsayers and astrologers now are called in and they can't read the writing. Isn't that amazing? They'd studied all the Hebrew and all the Greek and the Arabic, but they still couldn't read the writing. I run into folk all the time that's had to read in the Hebrew and Greek and they can't understand John 3:16. That's right. I helped a fellow up north and had he's a good man. I mean, he is. And had at least one doctorate and maybe two. And we was out together and I was picking his brain. And I said, "Doc, tell me about what this word means." And he'd tell me. I was trying to remember it. And he said, "Preacher," I said, "I'm going to tell you what, Doc, that's all Greek to me." And we laughed together. And he said, tell me about you're getting saved, preacher. And tell me about getting called to preach. And Lord, I said, "I'd be glad to." And I got to crying and the carrying on and the kicking the dash in that Lincoln Town car and telling him about getting born again down on the hillside. And I was shouting when I didn't even believe in shouting and got to shouting and praising God. And he looking around at me wild and he said, "Now that's all Greek to me." And I said, "I'd rather have what I have and not have what you have than to have what you have and not have what I have." Amen. There's some things this world can't. They don't know nothing about old time religion. They don't know what makes me cry and makes me shout and what makes me want to preach. Thank God in the middle of the night I wake up and the calling's on me and I'm a hollering and amen. Thank God. I'm glad there's something to this the world don't understand. I'm about to have a Monday night feel. I'm glad, thank God, tonight that there's something about being a Christian and old-time Holy Ghost living that all the colleges and the seminaries in the world know absolutely nothing about. Amen. I'll tell you what. There's some things. There's some men out there that's got education, that knows about God. Don't you throw them out because they got education. I preached last January in New York, in Schenectady, New York, in Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I preached to the students for 2 days, and they'd come in. The students, some of them would come in on Monday and Wednesday and Friday, and others come in on Tuesday and Thursday, and the next week they'd switch around. And so I preached 2 days and got both crowds and preached and gave an invitation. And I think the first day, everybody in there got in the altar. And I was amazed. And it's all because the teachers, the chancellor's from Mississippi. And I said, I know what you've done.
Yeah.
You brought that stuff up here in Mississippi,
yeah,
and got these fellas stirred up. Amen. And you got these Yankees all rolled up.
Yeah.
And they knew about God Almighty. And there's a fella laying over here with his head laying down on the rostrum and laying aside, and he's a crying and hollering, God help me. I need something from you, Lord, this morning. God help me. And I said to the chancellor, who is that? And he said, that's a Hebrew and Greek professor. Amen. You can't just throw them out because they got sin. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, no matter whether you got learning or whether you ain't, there's something about this that's a secret from the world. And amen, thank God. The soothsayers couldn't get it. Come in, try to read it, and mumble, and said, we don't understand it. And the king's mama come in and said, hey, don't get too rolled up about this. Said, there's a man in the kingdom. Amen. There's still some men in the kingdom. Thank God that understand the things of God. They're not all gone to hell. They're not all gone modern. There's still a few ladies and men today knows why, how to testify and pray and shout the praises of God and know what it's about.
Yes, amen.
Said, Daniel, told your daddy some things. Daniel's been back up yonder just in the shadows. They call old Daniel in. And he said, are you that Daniel? He said, yes, I am. He said, if you'll read this writing right here, I'm going to just load you with gifts.
Yep.
He said, just keep your gifts. Amen. And he said, what about this writing up here? There's a man's hand came out and wrote up here. Daniel's going to read the death decree. He didn't get shook up. He knew how to act when the death decree came. And Daniel looked up there and looked at that and smiled. How about that? My mama could have wrote that. That's hometown rap. Amen. You don't have to get too shook up about this here. There's some things in there that I don't understand all of it, but I can sure read it and shout over what I do understand. Amen. God made it pretty plain for us. Gave us this 1611 King James Bible that everybody, every little old sixth grader can read. Don't have to have no formal stuff. Just read it. And them fellas got all that learning. They say, well, now we're going to have to get down deeper in order to understand this. I'm glad God outsmarted the whole bunch.
Yeah.
And you said, I'll tell you what that means, King. Thank God for boldness in Daniel. He could have done like some of the politicians did and said it in such a mild manner the king wouldn't have known what he said. But he said, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Said, tonight the kingdom's going to be taken from you. I won't ask you tonight, if you'd been weighed in the balances, how would you come out? You're still a part of this old world, trying to hold on to righteousness and religion with one hand, and trying to act holy, and trying to hold on to the world with another hand. God weighs you in the balances tonight. How are you going to come out? Have you really been saved? I worry about folk that are in the church but care nothing for the things of God. I wonder tonight if you'd like to say, preacher, I've been a little too much like the world. And I know I've been saved, but there's some things are hanging on me. My children are watching me and seeing the wrong things. I tell you what I'd do, I'd get an altar tonight. and say, Lord, it's going to be different from here on in. Go straighten some things out. Going to have some determinations and say, we'll not eat the king's bread and the king's wine. We're going to live like the Bible tells us we ought to live. I've never known a wicked time like we're living in tonight. I've never known as much play acting, even at the house of God, like we're having tonight. All across this world, hear me, them folks out yonder in the street, I came down that little side street over there tonight and seen all that gang around that little building. I don't know what it is, but I suppose it's a long ways from being right. And I thought, Lord God, I wish they knew what I know. Go right on like they're going and walk off into hell. I wonder if they see you out, they know you're different. Well, if you act and dress like they do, talk like they do, they'll never want what you got, and I don't blame them. Oh, if you can let them know there's something better. You know what really disturbs them? That in all this turmoil, you got peace and joy.
Yeah.
You whistling there, worrying to death about the stock market. Here you are, don't have much of anything, and they got money in the stock market, and they're worried to death. What else do you need besides Jesus?
God bless you.
What's wrong? What's wrong with doing right? What's wrong with just being an old-time Christian, letting the world... Do you know how to act? If you're a real Christian, you're in a foreign country. You don't belong here. You're headed home. This is not your home. You're headed home. Everybody stand, please. We're going to sing together. Maybe folk here tonight need to come on the altar and sing. God's going to be different. Sing if you will.